She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Hello, Dina. How are you?
Hello, hello. Good morning. Yes, I should have taken a dragon.
Yeah,
a dragon can go over those.
Bit of a hectic traffic, but doesn't matter because you are in studio, and that's what's important.
Indeed. Or I should have taken a spacecraft.
A spacecraft, maybe. Yeah, a Tesla car, or, you know, there are definitely things that people are talking about. Cape Town to New York in 2 hours via the stratosphere with Elon Musk. It's a thing.
It is a thing. And Elon Musk is a thing.
Is it? So. Yeah, he is a thing. Quite a thing.
So except he changes his Twitter profile, but we're all good with that.
Yeah, there's a few people who shouldn't be on Twitter, but that's okay. So yeah, space was a big issue last week. We had the Israelis, they were going to land on the moon. They didn't quite make it in the end, which was very sad because I think it would have been very
It was devastating. Nice. They were so close, so close. And you kept seeing like a countdown of them getting closer and getting into orbit. And then...
just, you know.
Yeah.
Oops. Okay.
Exactly.
Some oak is going to arrive on the moon one day. It's just going to be that thing. But it does go to show that space is capturing the imagination. I mean, last week, we had this whole thing with the black hole, which was very exciting. So space is a thing.
Absolutely.
And it is definitely a marketing thing.
No question. So you actually think you're right. What is it that's about space that just absolutely captures the imagination? And I think it's the unknown. So when we look at like, when you watch movies and there's normal marketing, everything, people are like, okay, got it, know what to expect. But what they love about, and I think what we're going to talk about now, is one of the most successful space franchises in the world, and that is Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason is actually so successful. I mean, let me just give you some history. So basically, whoever doesn't know what Star Wars is, I feel like that's impossible for anyone not to know what Star Wars is. But it was created in 1977 by George Lucas. And what happened when it actually began, it was such a huge success for 20th Century Fox that it actually reinvigorated the company. And within 3 weeks of the film's release, the studio's stock price doubled to a record high. And prior to that, profits were about $37 million. And after that, they broke profit record to about $79 million. So, I mean, it just captured the imagination. It was also because it's something completely surreal. It's completely out there. The imagination can go wild. It's spacecraft shooting. And it's just absolutely for children, for adults. And then you've got the fan clubs. I'm sure you've heard about the fan clubs.
Well, for me, what was super interesting from a marketing perspective of Star Wars mm-hmm. is, you know, today we're kind of very used to the idea that you go to a movie and then, you know, you get your toy with McDonald's and you can get your like plushy toy and you mm-hmm. get your pajamas with the character on it. But before Star Wars, that really wasn't a thing. And one of the things that George Lucas did was he took out the franchise rights to the stuff around the movie and he got it for like a song because no one really thought it was going to be important. And that's how he made all of that money with
Absolutely.
The stuff.
Yeah. So the stuff is called the merchandising.
The merch.
The merch. Oh my gosh.
That's what they like to call
my
it.
My children now are like, Mom, I need merch. I'm like, what's merch? I don't even know what merch is. And no, we need to buy the merch of all these YouTubers that they're watching. I'm like, what is merch? I'm like, oh, you mean merchandise? They're like, what?
What's that? No, it's the merch.
It's the merch. The merch is the new thing. If you don't know what the merch is,
then you're not woke.
You are so not woke. Vanity, is that true? Have you got merch?
Yes.
Rihanna merch.
Yeah. Game of Thrones merch.
Even Ed Sheeran was referring to merch. Anyway, moving back onto the merch, you're absolutely right. So what he did is he actually took a $500,000 pay cut. In 1977, there was quite a package, in order to
2019
maintain.
2019 is still quite a big pay cut.
So just so you know that in terms of the merchandising value from the first six films, $20 billion in merchandising revenue. $20 billion.
Including, I should note, because I was looking this up before you came in.
Look at you.
There's a...
research bunny.
There's now a tournament that you can do where the Fencing Federation of France got together with the Association of Lightsaber Fighters. And there is now an official fencing tournament with lightsabers that you can do.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can you choose? Does it have to be a specific color?
No, you can whatever color. Even they have the double ones or the single ones, and there's like people. You know, because normally it's kind of like boring, and there's like the helmet, and everyone's standing there. But this is, you know, capes and people jumping up and down.
And that's what I love about Star Wars, and that's why I think it's been such a successful franchise. Because also often you see a movie, and it's just like the sequel is just a disaster. No one wants to watch it. No one wants to go to it. And people, and it obviously generally generates less revenue. But every single Star Wars gets better and better and better, and you actually can't wait for the next one because the special effects, and even since 1977, obviously, technology has evolved, and computer-generated simulations, all of those wonderful things are just so exciting that people love them. But the fact it's spread to Lego and it's spread to Nintendo and anything that, like, can, it has basically gone mad.
I once went to an exhibition in London, which was a Star Wars exhibition, and they had, like, some of the original costumes of Chewbacca there. And one of the parts of the exhibition which I found fascinating was how they, in the 70s, created the sounds of, like, the lightsaber, for example. So apparently they didn't really have a sound for that. And one day somebody dropped the microphone down behind the couch and it swung next to, the musical instruments or the other microphones, whatever. And that feedback was actually the sound went, and that's where they ended up getting the saber, the wow. sound of the lightsaber from. So it is wow. interesting.
I mean, Benji, know too much you do.
I mean, it's a little bit of a fanboy. I'm not going to lie.
I did actually guess that.
I did. I don't know how.
I knew. Coming in. But also what it's become so much a part of culture. So when you hear "May the Force be with you," which we hear often, which I particularly say, and lightsabers, like, they're part of society. Like, everyone knows when you're talking about a lightsaber or "May the Force be with you," they know exactly what you're referring to.
But the question is, and, you know, as a bit of a fanboy, I have opinions on this, but, you know, has the franchise been assisted by having Disney take it over? That's really a question which I have, you know, I'm not completely sure. That having Walt waltz through the Star Wars
the fields of the asteroids
is really ideal for, like, I've been quite disappointed actually with the last couple of shows, but then, you know, that's just me because it seems to be a whole bunch of people disagree with me. But I'd like to know if you are a Star Wars fan. 0618951019. What do you think of the latest shows? 34519. I mean, I have to say, the latest Star Trek series is unbelievable.
I was going
to
ask you about Star Trek.
Very, very, very cool. Also, Star Trek went through a bit of a meh phase, but the latest series, I actually have to watch the second season, but it is quite remarkable. They're really very, very good.
But you know, Star Trek actually preceded Star Wars. It was actually 1966 it debuted.
Yeah,
a TV series.
It's now 50 years old.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting. And in fact, at one point, Fox clearly ran out of money because they were playing all of these old episodes of Star Trek and you're like, whoa, you know, stuff like, you could never get away with some of the stuff. It would be clearly sexist and racist and, you know, because that's what it was like. But apparently for the time, it was quite a progressive show. It was like one of the first shows. It's interesting you talk about the fact about fantasy and space. It was one of the first shows to have black people in main characters because they were aliens, right? So you could bring a black person in without running afoul of any of the racial issues of the time,
exactly.
Because it's an alien,
it's
so who cares?
And, yeah. it's all these creatures, which is also, I think, what adds to success, is that it just creates the possibility of the unknown and all these different amorphic figures and things that can do things with funny faces, and they create and they do, and it's just amazing. That's why we love it. And Spaceballs, by the way, the next season,
Jews
loved
in space.
Anyone who hasn't seen Spaceballs got to see Spaceballs.
There we go. Dina Diamond, who's our marketing guru, coming to talk to us about space and how to market it and how they get away with it and how to become, I mean, that girl, woman researcher lady who's now like super famous for her black holes. Have you seen the pictures? And she's got her own YouTube channel. It's so cool. So cool.